Planet Fitness has everything you need to get stronger just around the corner, so you can give everything you've got. Whether you want to crush a few reps before class with our expanded strength equipment or sweat it out on your way home from work, with over 2,800 locations, there's a Planet Fitness close to you, and most are open 24 hours. Join the club today and get your first month free. Just $1 down, $15 a month. No commitment. Deal ends Friday, February 13th. You coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of No Reserves Radio. I've been trying to get Alex in the recording studio for a while, and of course, you know, when he finally agrees, like the coward he is, I'm currently sick. I'm trying to recover from an ailment, so, but we don't use that as an excuse here. We ball, we show up, and, you know, that's just the American way, and Alex doesn't believe in that. So, how's it going, Trader?
Hey, what's going on, guys? So, yeah,
did you get your trophy, buddy? I did.
It came in the mail yesterday. I went to pick it up. I'm now finishing assembling it, just putting on the tags and whatnot, and just attaching one part to another, which you probably don't know because I don't think you'll ever get one of those.
You probably will never win. But I will.
I have my doubts.
It'll be a fun year.
I have my doubts. And yeah, I got that. I got my team in the Super Bowl. Despite all the adversity, despite you always bad-mouthing us day in and day out, we're here. We're finally in the big game. We're playing the big game for the third time.
Buddy.
And my guy just out-dueled the NFL MVP. My guy, Sammy Biscuits.
Out-dueled is a stretch, but okay.
Well, is it really? Didn't he pass for over 300 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions, over 127 QBR? I would say he out-dueled it pretty well.
I would say he kept up.
Okay, you can say that, but he kept up with the NFL MVP, so that basically equals that he should maybe be the NFL MVP. Well, he doesn't need that. He's going to be the Super Bowl MVP, so doesn't really matter, right? Sam Darnold, the Sam Darnold, the full Sam Darnold experience has been unleashed.
Played well. You played well. I'll give you that, buddy.
All right. So now you can finally agree that we're going to be Super Bowl champs, right?
I think with the stuff coming out about Drake May, yeah, I think you're a better roster. I think Drake May is banged up. So, yeah, I think it's more likely than not that you guys
The excuses are starting to come. They're starting to roll in.
I'm telling you, you're right. More likely than not, you will be the Super Bowl champion after this weekend.
But we will be the Super Bowl champs because we have the better team of anyone in the NFL.
You have the better team than the Patriots, yes. I'll give you that.
Than anyone in the NFL. Then we played everyone that people thought were good. We played the Niners. We beat the crap out of the Niners. We played Detroit. We played the Rams. We beat the crap out of the Rams. No, the Rams. We beat the crap. You know, some things are just like this. I told you a while back that we were going to be here, and now we're here. And we're going to win the big one. And we have maybe one of the best coaches in the NFL. We have a great young roster, so I think this could just be the start of a dynasty.
I think you and the Patriots are getting a little bit too big for your britches.
No, don't worry. This is the beginning of the Sam Darnold reign. We just finished the Patrick Mahomes reign. We're good now. Mahomes, we have Sam Darnold.
I'm just saying, you beat the Rams, congratulations. You beat all year 49ers team. I think when that defense is back, that they're going to give you a lot more fits than you'd like to admit. You didn't have to face the Lions. Hell, you didn't have to face the Packers. Like,
but the Packers lost to the Rams, so the Rams are the superior team, right?
I mean, this year.
No, sorry. The Packers.
No,
lost
not
to
even
the Bears.
This year.
The Bears. The Bears lost.
Not only
to
that,
the Rams.
The Packers lost Micah Parsons. So honestly, I think you guys won the war of attrition very well. I think
well,
I would.
We lost Zach Charbonnet.
Oh wow.
Hey, everyone has been telling me for a while that Zach Charbonnet is good, so now I get to use that excuse. We lost Zach Charbonnet.
But
we
anyway.
Had to play Georgie Olani.
But anyway, I think next year is going to be a little bit different. You're going to see more healthy teams. You're going to see progression in a positive light for a few teams, especially in the NFC North. And I don't think it's obvious. It's Patriots especially, so you had a playoff without Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow, Patrick Mahomes. Pump the brakes, buddy, on that one.
Okay, that side, they can all fight amongst each other. On our side, it was a super competitive NFC. And we took care of business.
Super competitive?
And we, I mean, it
the
was.
The 49ers
in,
lost an entire defense, basically.
Yeah, and they beat the Eagles. Your love team, the Eagles.
They did beat the Eagles. That did happen.
And then the Bears had a great season, and they beat the Packers. And then the Rams, the team that everyone thought was favorite to go that far. They struggle versus the Panthers. They struggle versus the Bears. And we didn't struggle in any of our games. We looked dominant in all of them.
We'll
every single part of this team is clicking. So I'm making a repeat of 2015. Sorry, no, not 2015. A repeat of the Broncos-Seahawks Super Bowl. So just purely another domination.
You're too happy, buddy. You're too happy about this.
Well, you'll see that I'm completely right on this. Moving on, just the thing, just remember...
Full victory lap. I'll get, make sure you get that in, but... Don't get all too right. comfy because and don't get too used to it, buddy.
I am getting that. Just a quick recap. Are you still in contention to win the playoff picks or
not?
It's
even
been a
close,
while since we've recorded, so okay. So playoff Alex strikes again, right?
Gotta give you something, I guess.
How's your bracket, by the way?
Pretty
Are
bad,
the Jags
buddy.
Still in this? Just let me know. Are the Jags in this? Or are the Texans in this? Are the Rams in this? The Niners in this? Any of those teams are in? Or... Oh, no. You doubted us. You doubted the Patriots as well. This playoffs have not been going great for you, Angelo. Sorry to tell you.
Yeah. Well, sometimes... You know, it doesn't happen often, but sometimes I do get things wrong. And, you know, if you can go 4 years without beating me in the regular season, I guess I can give you a playoff. And, you know.
Well, yeah, that's just how the cookie crumbles sometime. So, since we've last been here, the Patriots beat the Broncos in the championship game in a game that was... Damn near boring to death because of the snow. And then the Seahawks completely beat the crap out of the Rams. Sean Payton has been heavily criticized because of the Broncos situation, because he was in a possible field goal situation. He went for it. He could have been up 10-0 before the half. He went for it, turned the ball over. Patriots immediately had a score in that possession. So now people are starting to doubt, like, is Sean Payton actually that great of a coach, or was he just carried by Breeze a bunch of times?
Oh, buddy, man. We're being serious with this?
Hey, people are wondering.
He lost his quarterback and he played in a blizzard. And still almost won.
Well, yeah. But the thing is, like, his game management was the big issue here.
So,
because he was in a situation in which he didn't read the game properly, in my opinion.
He was in that position. He could have just gone for the field goal, put the game up 10, like it's snowing. You have your backup QB. You kind of need to read the room at that point. And just keeping Bo Nix, keeping just Stidham out there, trying to get that first down when the Patriots clearly weren't scoring anything meaningful. At that point, I think just you throw your own ways out of it and you basically need to play to the game script. And the game script was telling you any points are going to get this win. So you need to get as many points as you can. So going up 10 to me was the ideal situation. And I think, I don't know if it was egos getting in the way. I don't know if it was just misreading the situation. But I think that's a big flaw of Sean Payton right there.
You might not agree with me, but I actually agree with the decision. If you go up 14 there, that game is over. Over.
But the thing is, you wouldn't necessarily get the touchdown, though. You would have extended the drive, but it's just as the Patriots proved, like, a couple drives later. They went for it in a similar situation, and they didn't get past that mark. So, for example, they got the first down, and then the next drive, they just went, like, three and out. In the next set of plays, they went basically three and out, and they didn't move the football at all afterwards and just had to settle for a field goal. So at that point, I'm just wondering, okay, ideal situations, go for it, sure, try to extend the drive, try to get a touchdown. In the middle of a mile-high snow blizzard, maybe just try to take the points.
I don't disagree with you on that, but I still am more be aggressive. Go for the touchdowns. You know, screw the field goals.
Vrabel, I think you read the game a bit better. Because Vrabel, at some point, after, like, the Broncos scored 7 points, he realized...
So, but here's the thing, and I understand what you're saying, but here's the thing. Who had the better quarterback in that game? The Broncos or the Patriots? Right.
The Patriots.
So what is a common thread that you see when, I'm just going to use Patrick Mahomes as an example, when teams face Patrick Mahomes, what's a common thread you see?
Being more aggressive to try to beat him.
Yes, more aggressive, because 3 points isn't going to beat Patrick Mahomes, but 7 points will, or might. So I don't disagree with the situation, the decision. The decision comes from the fact that, yes, I am outmatched at the quarterback position. I have a good defense, but there is still a chance, even in snow, that Drake May gets hot, and then what am I going to do? 10 points is a lot more cushy, or 14 points is a lot more cushiony than 10. Like, that's just me.
I feel like that's maybe giving a little more respect to Drake May than what he should get. But I understand your point. It's just that I don't know if Drake May is in the same sentence as Mahomes. Plus, Drake May in the middle of a storm. I really think it's not in the same phrase as Mahomes. But I do get your overall point. I would have played it a bit more, and of course, hindsight is 20/20, but I would have played it a bit more closer to what Vrabel did. So just run the football, and in the end, like, they were up 14-10 or 14-7, something across those lines. And he was so sure that the Broncos couldn't score that what he did was basically like, okay, first down pass. If it's not there, chuck it to the ground. No, first down, run. Okay, second round. Second down, run. Third down, let's pass. If there's nothing open immediately, throw it away. Just avoid any sort of mistakes. I'd rather you throw it away and we lose a down, but we take some time off the clock than just have you make any sort of mistakes that could put the Broncos in a scoring position, like the Broncos did with the Patriots. So in the end, I do think that Peyton got outmatched by Vrabel. The one thing about Peyton, and would you think that Sean Payton is an Hall of Fame head coach at this point?
Sure.
Okay, the one thing with Peyton for me is, yes, he has that one Super Bowl run. Yes. Outside of that Super Bowl run, how many playoffs wins do you think he has? Like, in terms of, that's not what I meant. Like, in terms of every time that he went to the playoffs, right? how many wins do you think he has in any of those runs? For example, do you think he has more than one win in any of those playoff runs outside of the Super Bowl? Like one game and a run?
I mean, maybe not, but at the same time, like, there's only so many playoff games. Like, if you make it to the Super Bowl, how many playoff games did you win? Two? Three?
Yeah, two, three. But the thing is, like, he has no series with more than one win outside of the Super Bowl. And he was to get the bye. Or at least in most of the seasons, he was never the team to get the bye.
So what you're saying,
the Saints were never the cream of the crop.
So what you're saying is he lost in the divisional round consistently.
Most of the times. Yeah.
Most of the time?
He never got past the divisional round. Outside of the one Super Bowl run.
So how is he any different from, like, John Harbaugh then? Is John Harbaugh great?
But John Harbaugh, I would say, I would have to check. But John Harbaugh as, well, to start, John Harbaugh as, is it one or two Super Bowls? Did he win the first Super Bowl with Ray Lewis and the crew, or was he not the coach at that time yet?
I'm gonna look that up.
Outside of that, I do feel like he has a better playoff record as well.
He was hired in 2008. He was not there.
Okay. So he won the Super Bowl with Flacco and the defense.
Yep.
And then he in the playoff record, I'm trying to see. He has a 13-11 playoff record at this point. I was trying to see how many times he got more than one win in the playoffs.
Does that make him much different than Mike Tomlin? Is Mike Tomlin not a great coach?
Mike Tomlin has more Super Bowls, no?
Potentially, yeah. Maybe he has two.
So that's one more Super Bowl. I'd say that puts you closer to the great conversation. Plus, he has more Super Bowl runs, no? Because he won two, and then he lost at least the one versus the...
Oh, no. He has only one. Packers. 2009.
He only has one.
Yep.
I thought Big Ben had more Super Bowl wins.
He made it to two, but yeah, he only won one.
Well, still, getting to two Super Bowls puts you over getting to only one, right? I feel like that's pretty standard.
Mike Tomlin playoff record. Let's see this. Let's compare this. What if I told you that Sean Payton had a better playoff record than Mike Tomlin?
I wouldn't be shocked to know that, because we all know that Mike Tomlin dragged a lot of the mediocre Steelers teams to, like, a smidge of being in the playoffs.
And so, then, like, are the these team guys good enough? That's my whole point. Are these guys not great? Is Mike Tomlin not great? Is John Harbaugh not great? Like, yes. Is Sean Payton great? Yes. Like,
if you asked me to rank those guys right now, I would probably tell you that Tomlin is one, Harbaugh is two, Peyton is three.
I think that's a tough sell for me, but I think it's close. Like, getting in the Bill Belichick or the Andy Reid echelon, that's not the norm. It's absolutely not the norm. And the fact that Sean Payton has such a diverse and extensive career along with Mike Tomlin, along with John Harbaugh, just means, yes, they are great. That's the long and the short of it. Is he great? Yes.
To be frank, though, the one thing that Sean Payton, Harbaugh, Tomlin, and Bill Belichick have in common is that none of them is a Hall of Famer.
Currently. Oh, you're going to get into that, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm going to get into that. Tough week for the NFL. But yeah, okay. So you think Sean Payton is a great coach. I think he has, he's maybe a bit overhyped right now. I need to be proven. I need another Sean Payton.
Before Sean Payton, what were the Broncos exactly known for? Other than overhyped rosters with under-delivered results. They weren't much more than that.
From 2015 to now, yeah, this is probably the most success that they've had, because after the after Peyton Manning, they had the whole Brock Osweiler, and then whatever Lynch guy they had that they drafted in the Dak Prescott draft or something along those lines. And then they had who had they had as well. I'm trying to remember Broncos quarterback. They did have Teddy Bridgewater for a bit as well, if I'm not mistaken. Then they had Russ. So yeah, it's been not great for them. Okay, I'll give Sean Payton another season, but I need to see another Super Bowl appearance for me to put him in the Hall of Fame at this point. Let's put it like this.
I think he's already a Hall of Famer, and quite honestly, if he doesn't make another Super Bowl, I think that should be expected, for the simple fact that the AFC is tough. Like, be real with me. Do you think that without some major moves happening in the whole like quarterback atmosphere of the AFC, do you think it would be crazy to say Drake May isn't going to get to another Super Bowl?
He has been playing some elite football. I don't think it would be crazy to say that, but I think it's likely than people are giving him credit for. Because everyone is sweeping across the rug the fact that he had this great season because he played a lot of trash teams. But the thing is,
his playoff run
hasn't been perfect.
But even if he's great, like, he is still going to have to go through Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, unless something changes. Like, the stars aren't going to align every season like this season. And if if we're willing to give Drake May that grace, why are we not also willing to give Sean Payton that grace? Because he also has to go through Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen without having one of them. Drake May, too. Well,
I think there's two different arguments that I can make there. Because for one, Drake May is the unknown at this point. He is the young guy. He is the young QB. He just had this great season. So, of course, people will look at him with more rose-colored glasses. Versus Sean Payton, who has been in this for a while, and we know what he can offer, and we know what he has done in the league, and we know all of those things.
I think you're missing my point. Like, I'm giving you Drake May is great. Like, even if Drake May is great, there is a scenario he does not make it to another Super Bowl with him being great because of the competition around him. It's the same thing for Sean Payton. Like, he doesn't have to.
So you're basically telling me that Sean Payton is great, but the competition around him makes it tougher for him to be in the situations to be at the top level, echelon level.
Absolutely.
Okay, but the thing is, that is right now. But before he came to the Broncos, he had this whole basically career with the Saints. And the NFC wasn't so tough at the time. Like, there was a lot of... Well, in the AFC, you had the Brady dynasty. You had Peyton going at it. It was mostly those two for a while. Then it jumps to the Mahomes dynasty. All of those things happening. The NFC, you had different teams going into the Super Bowl, going into deep into the playoffs every single year. And outside of that one Super Bowl run by Sean Payton, it just never really did click for the Saints.
Yeah, they never could get the defense right. That's the only
thing. And that's partly on the coach, you know.
Yeah, no, I would agree.
So I feel like it's easier to give a pass to when guys are in the great echelon of competition But I don't know if Sean Payton was ever truly in that echelon of competition. He never had to be in the same division as Belichick, for example. Never in the title. So it's just one of those things that, sure, he had a few great coaches playing in the same conference as him. But even those, they were mostly short-lived. Like, what's the best coach that has been in Sean Payton's division at his time with the Saints?
Division or Carroll?
Conference. Conference.
It is Pete Carroll, probably. Those Seahawks are probably the best teams that were in the NFC around that time period.
He wasn't for the full stint of Sean Payton's career there. Didn't Sean Payton get like appointed in 2008?
Yeah. Actually, maybe even sooner, but yes.
It was, yes, he got 2006. To be blocked by
teams like the Giants that beat the Patriots twice. Not a good look. But again, I think that's more... He still consistently took the Saints to the playoffs. I think, and I know I go on like, you want to be in the Super Bowl conversation, you want to make deep playoff runs. Everyone can't be that. And just because Sean Payton only has one deep playoff run doesn't mean he's also not a great coach, if that makes sense. Like, we've seen him make successful teams with an offensive heavy team and no defense. And now we've seen him make a deep playoff run with a defensive heavy team and without a quarterback, essentially. So I think Sean Payton is great. That's my long and short of it.
That's it.
Yeah, that's it. Easy as. Simple as Alex would say. Simple as.
Okay, as for Rams, yes, we've talked a bit about this. Not much to say. We just beat the crap out of the Rams. The defense came to play. The offense came to play. Kenneth Walker looked amazing during that game. The Rams can't tackle for crap. And yeah, that's basically it. That's Stafford tried to get into this game. Tyreek Woolen tried to get the Rams back into this game with the crazy-ass penalty that he just decided to badmouth every single person in the Rams sideline. So that got him a penalty.
Sherman in him.
Yeah, it's just not really the talent of Sherman. But yeah, the mouthing, for sure. Sherman is probably a bit smarter, though, so... and yeah, we beat the Rams. I had a blast just going to the Rams Reddit because they were having a meltdown. I remember back when, before we faced them the last time, during the regular season, they were so confident that they were going to have the MVP, that they were going to win the Super Bowl, that they were going to beat our ass in that last regular season game. They were flying high. And it all came crashing down. It's just lovely.
Yeah, it was a rough one. I mean, the Rams offense did look good. Very, very good at times, but yeah.
It did. It did it. And they did it versus a very good Seahawks defense.
Yeah, no, they played good. They have nothing to be ashamed of.
It was maybe the best game of the playoffs, to be fair. I can't remember a single game. Maybe Bears-Packers was to that level, but I think Seahawks-Rams was the best game in the playoffs. All right, so outside of that, the NFL just decided, okay, we just had this great playoff game to end the playoffs, to just go to the Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl rematch. People are getting excited. Sam Darnold can win a Super Bowl. Drake May can win a Super Bowl. How can we fuck this up? And they just decide. You know this coach that has the most Super Bowl wins by any coach ever. Let's not put him in the first ballot Hall of Fame.
So, one, do you believe that it was done to send a message for the various amounts of scandals that Bill Belichick had during
the year? There's no way there is any single argument for Belichick not to be a first ballot Hall of Famer outside of the cheating allegation, the cheating scandals. There's not a single explanation. Like, this is the best coach ever. He has the best resume ever. If this guy is not a first ballot Hall of Famer, who is the first ballot Hall of Famer, right? Are you telling me you think that he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer? Hey. Oh, we lost Angela. Okay. Like, there's absolutely no way you can spin this around and it not being, we're sending you a message. And okay, not because of the Deflategate, that was mostly Brady. I'm certain of it.
Do you think that they're gonna what's it called? Snub Brady?
Oh, at this point, it has to be, right? If you're snubbing Belichick, the best coach ever, best resume ever, he's not a first ballot Hall of Famer. First of all, no one can be a first ballot Hall of Famer. If Belichick isn't one, then no one can be. Then if we're doing this by, like, because they also snubbed Kraft. So they snubbed Belichick, they snubbed Kraft. At this point, you have to snub Brady. Brady is not a first ballot Hall of Famer at this point. Which is insane. This is an insane standard to put out. Because if these three guys aren't first ballot Hall of Famers, no one is. Simple as.
No one is. So does this take away from the legitimacy and, I guess, the power that would go associated with being a Hall of Famer?
Oh, it 100% has to. And it takes a lot of weight out of the first ballot part as well. Because then, what does it mean to be a first ballot of anything in the NFL? Like, why should I care? Like, I'm not a first ballot Hall of Famer. Sure, so wasn't Belichick. And Belichick is the best coach ever. So, what does it mean? It just completely takes out the part, the meaningful part of first ballot. Like,
I thought it was a bad decision, for the record. Like, you're not getting any disagreements from me here. Like, he has more Super Bowl wins. It's just, yeah.
This is just absolutely asinine. Like, at this point, coaches coming up that could maybe be in the Hall of Fame or should be in the Hall of Fame will be guys like Tomlin. So is Tomlin going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No.
Okay. Is Sean Payton going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No.
Is Harbaugh going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer?
No.
And Pete Carroll?
Not if they're being consistent. Now, if they're being consistent.
Yeah. For being consistent, no one can be a first ballot Hall of Famer. We'll be inducting coaches that played, like, what, in the 90s, by the time that we're inducting some of these coaches that I just named. Because those guys can't be first ballot Hall of Famers.
There.
So, this is just completely backwards decision by the NFL. It's going to cost Brady as well. Because Brady isn't going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer if we're going by that route.
So what would you do if they did make Brady a first ballot Hall of Famer?
I mean, there's just no consistency at that point. Because Brady was involved in those scandals as well. And if we're saying that Belichick's main tank against him was the cheating scandals of stealing signs and all of those things, then okay, then he had nothing to do with the Deflategate. And the Deflategate was 100% Brady. So, what are we doing there? So Brady had a scandal as well.
he threw his cell phone away so people couldn't see any of the messages that he was trading with the ball guys. So be consistent. Brady, the best QB to ever play the sport, is not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
First ballot Hall of Famer.
It's gonna be a disgrace.
Alexis said it first.
So there is absolutely no, so what the NFL is telling you is that there is absolutely no difference between an Eli Manning and a Tom Brady. So there's no difference between a Philip Rivers and a Tom Brady.
Yeah.
This is going to be it. This is going to be the standard. And if they put him as a first ballot Hall of Famer, then this is just going against every single thing that they have been preaching for as to why Belichick isn't in the Hall of Fame at this moment. But hey, since this, the NFL also decided, okay, That's not a good look for us. So we need to find Pro Bowl replacements. So let's look for the AFC. Josh Allen, he has hurt his ankle. We don't have Bo Nix. Drake May is off to the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow is here, so okay, let's call Joe Burrow. Lamar Jackson, we don't care about Lamar. Trevor Lawrence, we didn't care about Trevor Lawrence. So who can we call? So this is like Ghostbusters. Who are you going to call in this situation where
there's only
some
one
QBs
obvious answer
to the job? Don't want to go, some QBs are hurt, so you just go look at the line and think, okay, Trevor Lawrence. Okay, Trevor Lawrence can come. He's probably available. Or do we go with Shadur Sanders? And the NFL and their almighty power sat in there and they thought, okay, let's put Shadur in. So Shadur Sanders took away all, just like the Bill Belichick decision of not being a first ballot Hall of Famer, took away all the credibility of the Hall of Fame. Shadur Sanders being
what credibility?
Took all
they play
the credibility
football.
Left.
They don't even play real football, Alex.
No, but they
you
took
can't
all
find
the
a
remaining
box
credibility
score.
That they have.
What credibility?
Yeah, that is true. But what they took away the rest of it. They took away the rest of it.
There was none left!
Now, there was in the sense of when we were discussing QBs, there were sometimes, like, if the guy was really close, let's say, for example, a Drew Brees and a Big Ben, for example, that level of close. In my mind, those guys are pretty close one to another. Or a Philip Rivers and a Matt Ryan, for example. We could look at those guys and be like, okay, they're close in basically everything. Maybe the deciding factor is how many Pro Bowls did this guy go to. At this point, it doesn't matter. Like, if one of the worst QBs to have ever played the game is a Pro Bowler, at this point, I'm going to start ducking. I'm just going to start taking away points from guys that went to the Pro Bowl. Like, are you a 10-time Pro Bowler? Okay, minus 10 points. Because Pro Bowl means nothing.
And you know who looks the worst in all this?
The NFL.
Kevin Stefanski for not being able to make the playoffs with a Pro Bowl quarterback.
The Kevin Stefanski slander out of
what?
This bad decision.
What part of what
NFL
I said isn't accurate?
Is insane.
What part of what I said isn't accurate?
He couldn't get to the playoffs because he had the guy with the worst QBR in the NFL this year.
Did he make the Pro Bowl?
You see, this is why the NFL has fucked this up. Because now people like you can say that. And it's a damn disgrace. And it's giving hope to the actual insane Shadur Sanders
Shadur
fans.
Shadur will be the quarterback of the Browns next year, week one.
Brother.
Book it!
I need you.
Book
I
it.
Was before we started the show, I was looking at some Twitter mentions of Shadur Sanders with the Pro Bowl. And, like, him going to the Pro Bowl has allowed this delusional people to have this sort of opinion online. So I have this one dude. I'm not even going to name names, but it's a verified dude on Twitter. And the Twitter, his tweet says, "The Pro Bowl hasn't mattered to most fans in years. People barely watched, barely talked about it, and treat it like background noise. Now Shedeur Sanders is in it, and suddenly everyone has an opinion, good or bad. That's not controversy. That's attention. Love him." This is like the most delusional people. Another one. "They spent 6 months telling us Shedeur Sanders couldn't play at this level. Had him playing with unsigned free agents. Sabotaged him in the draft just for him to make the Pro Bowl as a rookie. Crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji, crying emoji. When it's meant for you, no one can take it. Hashtag legendary." Like, these are the people that can now have these opinions on Twitter and not be immediately mocked about this, because they can just revert to what you said. Is he a Pro Bowler?
Yeah.
At this point, we can't say anything because he is a Pro Bowler.
He is.
Despite throwing nine touchdowns to 14 interceptions, despite having the sixth worst QBR ever in the league, the worst QBR ever by a Browns QB, which might just seem worse than sixth ever in the league.
Many moons ago, I'm pretty sure Peyton Manning had the worst QBR in his rookie season as well.
And it's not even close to this level. This is not really just he had the worst QBR. No, this is the sixth worst QBR in league history. Like, everyone mocked Dylan Gabriel for not being able to throw football past 10 yards. He had the worst QBR than Dylan Gabriel. Like, he threw for 1,400 yards, seven touchdowns and 10 interceptions. This is the guy that we're giving a Pro Bowl to. And it makes me sick. The guy threw a pick six in a Pro Bowl game. I saw another guy adding Matt Hasselbeck that he couldn't talk about Shedeur Sanders because Hasselbeck was 18. No, because Hasselbeck was in the NFL for 18 seasons and he only made the Pro Bowl three times and never won a Super Bowl. So he can't talk about Shedeur Sanders, who just had one of the worst seasons ever by a quarterback, despite Hasselbeck being a Super Bowl finalist with the Seahawks in the Super Bowl in which we got robbed by the refs versus the Steelers.
And losing.
Because we got robbed. So, I just don't know what to tell you.
Your hate all season came to roost. And now
this is
time for Alex Eat Crow.
This is the most embarrassing thing the NFL has ever done for attention. Like, this is just completely going down to a new low at this point. This is insane. But hey, here we are now. And then this allows this delusional human being, Shedeur Sanders, to go out there and during his interviews, I believe this was during the Pro Bowl weekend or week or wherever, whenever the Pro Bowl happens, because no one knows anything
Tuesday.
About
it was
the Pro
Tuesday,
Bowl.
Alex. Get the date right.
So this is a direct quote from Shedeur Sanders. "I proved to myself that I'm able to dominate in this league. But I'm able to take completions. I'm able to put all together. In games, we have flashes, but I know I'm capable of doing that. To do it on a consistent basis. That's what my goal is." This dude sat out there and he said that he has proved that he can dominate the league. He threw for 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 10 interceptions.
He took you to Domination Station, Alex.
He's QBR.
That's the title.
You think Geno Smith had a good season?
Shedeur Sanders took Alex to dominate.
Do you think Tua had a good season? His QBR was half of those two guys. Half. And both of those guys got benched. What are we doing? I feel like
they didn't make the pro
crazy pills here. Oh my God, but they should have. What's the argument for him to go and not those two guys? They had better stats. They had better seasons. They had better QBR.
Pro Bowl. And Shedeur Sanders. Let's go. Hold on. I'm not doing the description. No.
Throwing three picks in a Pro Bowl is insane behavior for a guy that thinks he can dominate the league. He's actually the fifth lowest QBR in league history. Not six. So I was being kind to him. Oh my gosh. Give him an extension at this point. Give him $250 million.
Yes, do it.
Just finish the Browns franchise once and for all.
It's never dying. Those fans will be there no matter what happens. I hate to break it to you.
Oh, it would die. It would die. Giving $250 million.
If Owen 16 didn't break them, nothing's going to break them.
At this point, I think that's the most delusional. Everyone that thinks Shedeur is decent is up there as the most delusional people to have ever played in this to have ever be a fan of this.
Hold on. I think we need to add Shedeur Sanders as one of our keywords. Hold on. Shedeur.
It's definitely going to improve the ratings.
Yep.
Oh, my God. If this dude's name wasn't Sanders and related to Deion Sanders, how far down in the depth chart do you think he would have been?
No idea.
Maybe fifth?
Fifth, he says.
He would be in a practice squad somewhere. Or maybe he would be playing in Canada.
Playing in Canada, man. You just...
Or flag football. Or Sunday League.
You just really like to hate on this guy, huh?
I mean, he is the worst QB that I've ever seen.
The worst.
He is
QB
the worst
you've ever
QB,
seen?
Brother.
That's a bit hyperbolic, don't you think?
This guy. Would you think that the Browns QBs are good or bad?
Bad.
Okay, this guy is the worst Browns QB ever. So what do you want me to tell you?
No, he isn't. Stop.
Statistically, he has the worst QBR ever of a Browns quarterback.
It's his rookie season. It happens. You know?
What does it matter? I'm telling you what I've seen right now. What I've seen right now is that he's the worst Browns QB ever. That's just factual. There's no opinions. There's nothing here. Factually, he is the worst Browns QB to have ever laced a pair of boots.
He's got next year. He can improve that. It's all good. He'll be fine.
This guy getting two seasons as a starting QB in the NFL just goes to show how high nepotism can take you.
Nepotism?
At this point, what do you want me to say? This guy is the only reason this guy has been getting any sort of praise is because he's the son of Deion.
The son of Deion. Oh, 320.
So yeah, that happens. Then Alex, we had some coaching hires, I guess. I'm just shocked at those things. Then we had some coaching hires.
Stefanski didn't deserve to get his
spot. Oh, we have another great moment by the Browns. So apparently Browns ownership was telling every single coach that they were interviewing. And this was part of the reason as to why the Browns couldn't really get a coach until like the 11th hour. It's because the ownership was telling every single potential head coach candidate that the one thing that they couldn't touch, it's Jim Schwartz. Jim Schwartz is going to be the defensive coordinator for the Browns. So this drove away a lot of head coaching candidates, and eventually they decided to go with Todd Munkins, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And then the day that they signed Todd Munkins, I believe that's the name. Then the day they signed this dude, Jesus Christ, this is so bad by them. Jim Schwartz comes out and he says that he should have been, basically reports come out, that is, that Jim Schwartz believes that he was going to stay because he was going to be the head coach. And he was pissed that he wasn't considered for the head coaching position, so he was leaving the Browns. So the Browns eventually, they lost out on a bunch of candidates that basically told them no thanks to being a coach for their team because they didn't want to work with Jim Schwartz. They wanted their own guy just for them to end up without Jim Schwartz.
So why didn't they just hire Jim Schwartz?
I don't know. That's the question. If they like Jim Schwartz so much, why not keep the dude? But no, they were like, we liked him a lot as a defensive coordinator. So he's just like, okay, fuck me, I guess. So now he's back. He's back being the head coach for the Browns because he was with the Browns back in 2019. He was the OC under the mastermind Freddie Kitchens. Remember the Freddie Kitchens Cleveland Browns? That was a nice
period. I do remember the Freddie Kitchens Cleveland Browns. Is he going to be the OC for Shadur?
I don't know, mate. Is he going to be the OC for sure? Maybe that's your excuse for next year. He's going to be the OC for sure, so that's the excuse. Let me see if he has appointed an OC yet or not. There's no OC as far as I know right now. As far as I know, there's no OC as of yet. There's no DC either, as we know right now. There was an idea of a defensive coordinator. That one kind of evaporated. Okay. So yeah, the great week for the Browns. Just amazing week. Oh, actually, there is an offensive coordinator right now. It's a dude named Travis Switzer. He was a run game coordinator for the Ravens. So he was maybe the guy in charge of deciding that the Ravens should run the football a ton, but without Derrick Henry. Great guy. This is going to do amazing. I don't know who's going to do worse. The Browns or the Jets?
What if the Browns win the AFC North next year?
Brother, there's no chance in hell the Browns win anything.
Anything?
Can the Browns even win football games, is my question.
Yeah, they'll be fine. It should be a fun...
I don't know.
If they can get some wide receivers in there, they could be a fun team.
Oh, yeah, sure. Great wide receivers to give for the worst QB ever to throw them a football.
He'll take his completions. It'll be good.
He had like a 60% passing completion, which is kind of dog water.
That's better than a lot of the playoff quarterbacks.
That's no way that's real. Name me one playoff quarterback that you think has a lower completion percentage than Shadur Sanders. One.
Jarrett Stidham.
Jarrett Stidham for sure has a higher completion percentage. Jarrett Stidham. I can almost guarantee you that this season Jarrett Stidham has a higher completion percentage.
I didn't complete many passes.
Okay, so this season, where's the... He had a 54.8 completion percentage. Let me check Shadur. the man, Shedeur Sanders. I can't even write this name properly. He had a 56.6. So he actually had a lower completion percentage than Jarrett Stidham in the game versus the Patriots. Wait, no. He had a slightly higher, 2 point percent, less than 2 points higher than Jarrett Stidham.
I told you.
Okay, so the worst QB in the playoffs, and he's not even a starting QB, he's a backup. So he's better than the backup of the Broncos, is what you're telling me. So he's still a backup.
I mean, he outplayed a playoff quarterback.
The backup playoff quarterback. Okay. Oh. Okay, I've gotten my Shedeur Sanders anger out of the way.
It's a similar complete status to Trevor Lawrence.
Great. Why are we trying to validate this dude, mate?
I'm just giving you. All right, what are we going to
ask? I still can't.
You're done plus, with Pro Bowl quarterback Shedeur Sanders. It's okay.
He has a 5%. Trevor Lawrence is 5% higher completion percentage than Shedeur. It's not close. There's quite a difference there.
It's closer to
plus three, one dude threw like 30 touchdowns. The other one threw 7. Okay, I'm done with Shedeur and his nepotism. Nepo baby Shedeur Sanders. I was trying to remember the coaching hires.
You know whose completion percentage it resembles, actually? Peyton Manning's rookie season.
Correct. So he's Peyton Manning. Soon enough, he's going to be the best QB ever. I'm sorry. Forever doubting you, Shedeur. Not to mention, we play in a hair raid league, and when Peyton went to the NFL, it was a completely different game. But okay. If we want to say that Shedeur Sanders is equal to Peyton Manning, then go ahead. Despite Peyton Manning throwing for like, what, 3 times the amount of yardage? And 3 times the amount of touchdowns? Okay. You can take the potato.
The potato.
All right. In terms of coaching hirings as well, I was trying to think of those that happened since we've been gone. And I think Harbaugh being hired for the Giants, that was a big one. But I think that one was discussed in the previous show because I remember we making some jokes about the GM. And how, like, John Merrow was basically in there saying, yeah, he reports to us, so the GM will still be here doing GM stuff. So, okay, that's fun. Then Freddie Kitchens got hired for the Atlanta Falcons. I think it's a great hire. You think it's the worst thing since, what, the plague?
Yeah. It's a terrible hire for the Falcons. Like,
it's a great hire. They're finally going to be a decent-ass team. Like, this guy got some wins with Shedeur as his QB. Surely can get more than that with Michael Penix.
You're going to be disappointed with the Falcons again, and then they're going to have an even more boring offense because the Kevin Stefanski offense is one of the most boring things I've ever seen. It's just like, oh, does it ever end? And he's just going to hand the ball to Bijan, and maybe that'll work. We'll see. But no, the Falcons aren't going to be any better, buddy. I hate to break it to you.
I think they're going to be decent. I think Stefanski is a great coach. I find it funny that the one team that didn't fire their coach, like every other team in that division fired their coaches, and their coaches immediately became the leading candidates to go to any team. We're like the two guys immediately hired anywhere. The other guy just basically retired. And the one team that thought, okay, our coach is still good, was the team that finished, what, second to last in the division?
Third, yes.
Great. I'm sure you would have loved to have Harbaugh or Kitchens or not Kitchens or Stefanski.
I would not have loved Stefanski. Stefanski would have been the worst, like, coaching decision.
Deep down, you know you would have loved Stefanski.
No.
It's better than whatever Zach Taylor gets you. That's for sure.
You're scrubbing me fake news now. Bullshit.
There's nothing worse than Zach Taylor, mate. Sorry to break it to you.
Kevin Stefanski's offense.
It's still a bit better than whatever your coach puts out there. Plus, you can coach defense. I don't know if your coach can coach anything.
That's the only thing that would make it even kind of worth it is defense.
Okay. Those were the main hires. Those were the main talking points at this stage. So I don't think there's much else to talk about in that regard.
What about your team, buddy? What about the Raiders hiring your offensive coordinator as a head coach?
Well, that hasn't happened yet in terms of being formalized. But I think that will be a great hire. I do think that we will survive, and we're going to be okay. Because if you remember, a few weeks ago when we were doing the show, I remember telling you that Kubiak is one of the guys that I think is a great OC. I don't know if he's going to be a great coach. Head coach, that is. I guess we will see. I still think it's a good hire. I still think the offense will look good. I'm just not sure if it's not going to be something like Dan McDaniels, for example. There's just coaches like this. They're great at just being a coordinator, not great at being an head coach. So, as long as I have Mike McDonald, I'm happy.
You happy? Proud of yourself?
Yeah. I got it all out of my system. I believe that's... Should we go to the predictions for the Super Bowl now?
If you want to.
Is there anything else that I'm missing?
You know what? Let's say no.
Let's say no? Okay, let's say no. Okay. So, let me see what lines we have here for the Super Bowl. So, it opened as Seahawks as a 3.5-point favorite. First of all, let me recap the predictions. So, for the playoffs, Alex is now 9-3 in the playoffs. And Angelo is in a measly 6-6. That's just a disgraceful record for you, Angelo.
Fun fact, my playoff record would be better than regular season record by 10%.
When I said 6-6, I was like, oh, he's gonna do that layup. It's gonna be such a nice layup for him. And yeah, you got the layup. That's okay, buddy. That's okay.
You gotta take. Hey, what did Shedeur Sanders teach us today? You gotta take your completions when they're there. So I took my completion. Bam! Right on the money.
The thing is, he really doesn't. But okay. In terms of the Super Bowl, Seahawks open as a 3.5-point favorite. It's now 4.5 across the board. I'm obviously gonna go with the Seahawks to win the Super Bowl. The Seahawks -4.5. Because, to me, I see this game going two ways. It's going to be close to last year's Super Bowl, which is either the Seahawks win in a blowout or the Patriots. And I'm leaning more towards the Seahawks winning in a blowout. So I'm going to go Seahawks 4.5. And I think we win this game 38-20.
Yeah, I think you're winning this game handily. I'm with you on the spread. I'm with you on the win. I don't think there's a chance the Patriots have.
And then in next week's show, it's going to be the Sam Darnold parade. There's going to be a bunch of things going on. There's going to be a party. That's going to be a celebration. Sam Darnold is going to be a Super Bowl MVP. What a timeline. First guy to win a Super Bowl from his draft class. No Baker, not Josh Allen, no Lamar, none of those guys. It's just Sammy Biscuits.
Isn't that really unfortunate?
No, it's great. I was always a Sam Darnold guy, so this is just amazing.
It's like everything you ever wanted in one season.
It's everything I ever wanted
and
more.
They gave you the script. They gave you the script and said, Alex, fill it out for this season. And you did. You filled it out good. You're like, okay. So we can't have Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Lamar Jackson, screw that guy. Joe Burrow is going to get hurt. That's the easy thing. Sam Darnold becomes a franchise quarterback.
Ha, that's a fun storyline. And I just ran with it. Yeah. Sam Darnold, Super Bowl MVP, Super Bowl winning quarterback.
Yeah.
Super Bowl champ, Super Bowl everything.
Super Bowl everything, indeed.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen. No, Super Bowl is this Sunday. So, here we go now. It's time for the big game.
I'm going to be so happy if you guys lose that game.
I know. You're going to be beaming if that happens.
Immediately.
But I think you're going to be sad. Because that's not going to happen.
I mean, I predicted it. I expect it to happen. Like, I expect to be right. Like, there's no... Give me the scenario that you have of the Patriots winning. The Seahawks have the better team.
Oh, Sam Darnold goes Sam Darnold.
That's their hope? Sam Darnold finally reverts back to the mean after 20 weeks?
Well, to be fair, he has had weeks in which he reverted to Sam Darnold. Which, like, the first Rams game, he reverted back to Sam Darnold. And we lost that game because of it. So, there is a scenario, which is Sam goes full Darnold because he gets pressured, because they get in his face and they drive him down the middle. But the thing is, the Rams did a lot of that, and he managed to avoid all of the pressure. He managed to step up in the pocket, go through the middle, get through the progressions. That's the one thing that Sam usually misses when he gets the pressure. He gets the happy feet. They drive him down the middle. He needs to step up in the pocket right down the middle, and then he just flusters, and he makes those duckling throws, and he does all of those things. That's the one thing that the Patriots could do. Bring the heat, bring the pressure. You have a shutdown corner that you can put on JSN, try to minimize that, and force us to play with our other weapons. That's the one way that I can see this go the Pats way, is Sam goes full Sam, because Vrabel tries and outcoaches McDonald. But I don't think Mike McDonald can be outcoached, because I think Mike McDonald is a great coach. So, every other scenario, I think we win. That's why I'm saying we lose a close one or we win a blowout.
Oh, this is going to be such a sad weekend for me.
It is. It is actually going to be a sad weekend for you. You know how it's going to be even sadder? Is if we're down, maybe we're losing the Super Bowl. It's going to be like a minute left in the clock. And Sam Darnold throws a touchdown pass. Just throws a full-on drive to win the Super Bowl to Cooper Kupp. That's going to be flashbacks, PTSD, all the way back to Rams-Bengals, where Cooper Kupp just decided in one drive to be like, go Super Saiyan. Can you imagine that? This Super Bowl. That's the one way that you'll be even sadder. Is if we win this game because Cooper Kupp went back to being Rams-Bengals Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp.
That would be pretty depressing, I'll give you that. It would give me non-flashbacks back to that Super Bowl from, like, 6 years ago now.
Time flies.
Time flies indeed, buddy. Time flies indeed.
All right. So that's the show, right?
That's the show.
Okay. So if you're listening this far, thank you very much. I hope you have enjoyed the full-on football season because it's not coming to an end. It ends on Sunday. Some people argue that it's always already ended, that Super Bowl is its own thing, and that the football season basically ends at the end of the playoffs, which I can understand. It's a different game. It's a different atmosphere. It's a different event. It feels like it's more different. of its own thing.
The one time Alex can actually outpredict me in something, so it definitely feels different for me.
But for all intents and purposes, the season ends on Sunday, and the season is going to end with my Seahawks winning the Super Bowl. So I'm going to be thrilled about it. Hope you guys enjoyed the season. We'll be back for next week to discuss what happened in the Super Bowl, how my Seahawks won. We will also be discussing maybe the halftime show. All of those good things. So yeah, hope you enjoy this, guys. As always, make sure to like the show, subscribe to the show, turn on the auto downloads as well, give us a 5-star review, all of those good things. And as always, talk to you next week.
Hopefully a little bit more healthy and happier after the Seahawks lose.